Welcome to the Teach the Geek podcast, where engineer and author Neil Thompson talks with STEM professionals about public speaking, a struggle for many of us. Whether you're a novice public speaker or a proficient one, you can always pick up tips on how to improve. Here's your host, Neil Thompson.
Welcome to another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I am the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, please like and subscribe to the channel. And if you're listening to the podcast, a review would always be helpful. So today, my guest is Joe Llewellyn, and he's a quality engineering manager. I'm really interested to learn more about his journey into quality and what is quality anyway. So let's just jump right into it. Welcome to Teach the Geek Interviews, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me, Neil, and I hope I can have you on one of our quality conversation webinars.
All right. So from the bit of research I did on you, I saw that you studied electrical engineering. What prompted you to study that?
I got a really good score in high school in math and science and got scholarships for engineering. And that's kind of what got me started.
Okay. So then you get a degree in electrical engineering. And I'm curious, what type of work did you do once you got your degree?
I did a lot of work programming PLCs, which are programmable logic controllers. So all this automation that you see, the controllers are the robots and the controllers are the conveyor belts and all the machines. That's the kind of stuff I was doing.
All right. And then at some point you decide to go into quality. So I'm kind of curious what with the jobs that you did before you got into quality, how did those jobs prepare you to go into quality?
Well, the thing that I learned as I was doing work in automation and manufacturing engineering is that you would have to talk to people about technical things, about what's going on with the conveyor, what's going on with the machines, why is this system down, why is this system running better than that system. And you really have to do presentations, and you have to also interface with maintenance guys to make sure that you can get your emergency response teams in place, and then also work with other engineers on setting up the next round of stuff. And one of the things that people forget is to talk to the operators and talk to other people that are going to be using the machines. So kind of quality picked me. As I was moving through my career, there were more and more opportunities that were opening up in the quality field for me for whatever reason. And in the beginning, I said I would never do it. I avoided it. But then I started to realize, you know, if you really want to start carrying the flag for manufacturing, quality, IT, those different things, sometimes you have to go outside of that arena and kind of be an ally in another camp for those people and help bridge the other departments together.
All right. So, I mean, I've mentioned the word quality a number of times already. So if you had to define quality, how would you define it?
Well, quality to me is based on perception, right? When you buy something or when you go and get a service, you have a level of expectation in your mind that you want to get a certain amount of enjoyment out of that service or out of that product, whether it's a paycheck or whether it's just a user experience or whether it's a transaction, whether it's at a coffee shop where I'm at right now, or when you go to the store, you want that transaction to be enjoyable. So quality is your perception of what it's worth to spend your money or spend your time on a product or a service that you're either going to provide or you're going to get from somebody else.
If someone wanted to work in quality, what type of background would be helpful for that person to have?
I think the number one thing about working in quality is that you need to have an open mind. Okay, you need to learn how to do things what they call the quote-unquote right way. Then you need to learn how to do things a little better than the right way, and then help teach those ways so that can become the new normal or the new standard. So one of the misconceptions of quality is that quality is against safety or quality is against production. But the real truth and the fact of the matter is quality needs to be part of continuous improvement. And then show people that they're there to help make their job better, as well as make it safer and make the product and the service better.
So I mentioned in the intro that you're a quality engineering manager. So what does your day-to-day look like?
So my day-to-day looks like I spend part of my day strategizing on what we need to do next, what can we do better? I spend part of my day actually interfacing and learning from the different operators and the different engineers and asking them, what is it that they do and what kind of value do they bring? And a lot of times people don't even know what their value is. If you don't know what your value to the company is, you don't know what you're worth to the company. So really the bottom line on being a quality engineering manager is to try to be as inclusive as possible, get as many different points of view as possible, and try to find that common ground so everybody can move forward together. So whether there's a little bit of problem solving, there's a little bit of strategizing, there's just a little bit of, what I want to call public relations, just making sure everybody realizes you're not there to try to point fingers. You're there to try to really find out what happened and make things better.
What's the career trajectory for somebody who's in quality?
Well, the first thing you should probably do is actually work in another field, whether it's be a frontline operator or be an engineer or be a manager. And then you want to come into the quality arena and you want to study what the technicians do, what the inspectors do, what the continuous improvement people do. And then you can move from technician to supervisor to engineer to manager or whatever path you want to take in quality.
Okay. You know, Joe, when I first started this podcast, it had all to do with giving presentations and getting better at it, because I used to have to give them when I was an engineer. And I wasn't very good at it at first, but I got a lot better at it because I saw the benefit. And then I also sat in on some of the other engineers giving their presentations, and I saw they weren't all that much better at it than I was. And so then that's really what started Teach the Geek, and then even the podcast, speaking to people about their public speaking journeys, people with technical backgrounds anyway. So when it comes to public speaking or giving presentations generally, when did you realize that getting better at it or just being good at it would be of use to you?
Well, first, I saw that when you're working with people, you have to do training. And if you're not really good in public speaking, you're not going to want to get in front of people to train them. Second, I've learned as an engineer that you got to give reports. And if you're not comfortable getting up in a meeting and giving those reports, that's another form of public speaking. And then third, we're all looking for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? Whether it's a better job, a better career, or a better business. So we're going to have to pitch ourselves in some kind of interview fashion sooner or later to get to that next level. And public speaking helps give you the confidence for all those things. So whether you're training, whether you're reporting out, or whether you're just trying to get your ideas out there and prove your worth, you have to be able to not be afraid to speak to people and state your ideas with confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely something that I came to eventually, better late than never. So when it comes to public speaking for yourself, were you always good at it? And if not, what did you do to get better at it?
Well, I was always a clown. So I don't know if that made me good at public speaking, but I always liked to joke around and kind of be that guy. And I was also, a musician or a DJ. So I was always kind of somewhere in that straw that stirs the drink, persona. And then you start to realize that it's not just enough to crack jokes and it's not just enough to entertain. You actually have to have a message that you want to spread to go with all that. So the entertainment and all that stuff is great. But what's the truth? What's the reality? What's the point you're trying to get across? And hopefully that point is to help make people better and lift people up and not tear them down.
When it comes to the presentations that you have to give, is it, or do you have a process for putting them together? And if so, what is it?
So I look at other people's presentations and then I ask myself, what part of these presentations and these techniques fit my personality? So where are the common points that I need to hit? Where are the common elements that I need to hit? But then what are the things that I can do to differentiate myself from all those other presenters? Because if we're all just carbon copies of each other, we're going to put the audience to sleep, we're going to lose them, and the point's going to get lost.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. That's true. I mean, you got to be the best version of yourself, not a carbon copy of somebody else, because the carbon copy is never as good as the original anyway. I firmly believe that. So,
and that's something you learn in quality, is that even though you want to have processes and policies and all those things in place, you never want to stifle creativity. So you want to give people a safe place to practice and learn.
Yeah.
100%. I feel like that's one of the things that's missing in quality, is everybody's so believing that if you have a strong process and a strong policy in place, that people are interchangeable. And I believe just the opposite. I believe that people should be creative and the policies and processes should be strong enough to handle that creativity.
Yeah, 100%. Do you ever get nervous before giving a presentation? And if so, how do you deal with your nerves?
So, yes. If you don't get nervous, then you're either not prepared or you don't have anything really on the line. So a little bit of nerves is good, but you got to learn how to control them, right? Whether you do breathing exercises or you speak to yourself with that inner voice. Like whenever I really got something big coming up, I tell myself, this is what you trained for. So it's not just working every day. It's getting up. It's going to work. It's taking a shower. It's getting your coffee. It's going to the gym. It's doing your homework. You have to remember to build yourself back up and go, you know what? I'm not going to let these nerves defeat what I'm trying to put across to people. If anything, I want them to energize me to take me to that next level so I can present even better. So if, as you keep raising the stakes, I'm going to keep raising myself up to reach those stakes that you put in front of me.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I mean, ultimately, I mean, based on something you mentioned earlier, the idea of getting better at public speaking really helps in just moving you up in organizations and just moving you up just in your career generally. And I think a lot of technical people, engineers, scientists, those types, we don't get that in school necessarily. So if we get into corporate America, where most of us end up, it's something that if we don't embrace it, it will definitely be to our detriment. And then we'll end up being that tech person who's sitting in their cubicle or sitting remotely, since so many of us are remote now, bitter and disgruntled because somebody else got the promotion and pay raise we thought we deserved. But because we weren't adept at doing the things that actually move the needle in terms of moving up within organizations, now we're in this place and we have no one to blame but ourselves.
Yeah, so like today, part of this challenge right now is I'm sitting in the corner of a Starbucks. I figured if I'm going to do a podcast on public speaking, I want to be out in public when I do it. And it's louder in here than I thought it would be. But that's part of the challenge for me to make sure I'm up in my game and doing the things that I need to do. And I want to help encourage other people to do the same thing. Up your game, be ready to go, get out there and make it happen. And you can do it. You know, you just gotta have enough confidence and belief in yourself that it's the right thing to do. And you also have to have a point that you're trying to get across. So like one of the things I like to tell people is, okay, be an optimist. It's harder than you think it is to be an optimist. And I'm going to give you the easiest time to be an optimist when you're surrounded by a bunch of other optimists. If I put you in a room with 100 people and 99 of them are optimists, that's easy. It's easy to be an optimist then. But if I put you in a room with 100 people and you're the only optimist in the room, are you going to back down and just join the crowd of all the pessimists that are saying you can't make things better? Or are you going to be the one that says, you know what, if we all work together and everybody shows one of their strengths and one of their weaknesses, and we all just try to cover for each other and raise each other up, we'll all get 100 times better.
It's funny you mentioned that, Joe. So a couple of years ago, I was on Clubhouse. It's an app, and it was pretty popular during the pandemic. And how it works, for those of you all that don't know, is you enter these rooms and you're in the audience if you're in a room, but there's also a stage where people can talk, and you have to be call to the stage to be able to talk. If you're just in the audience, then no one hears what you're saying. But for the people who are actually on the stage talking, let's just say somebody asks a question and people answer it, I would find that in some of the rooms, the first person that answered basically set the tone for how everyone else answered after that. And it used to be so frustrating for me, because I would think to myself, I wonder how many of these people actually agree with what the first person said. But perhaps because they want to avoid conflict, they just go along with, they basically piggyback off of what that first person said. And it really does take that courage to just say what you actually think, regardless of what other people have to say about it. So the example you gave of being an optimist amongst a group of people who aren't necessarily optimists is an interesting one, because it really forces you to then say, am I actually going to say what I actually believe? Or am I just going to go along with the crowd? And I would hope that most people would choose the former.
Well, you just nailed it when you said, am I going to say what I really believe or am I going to go around with the crowd? Because some of the greatest speakers work for the news organizations. They have this power of persuasion. And there's been some newscasters that have been caught either saying some things behind the scenes or saying some things on camera that do not represent the views and opinions of the station. Now, they built their entire career reading the script. But were they saying what they truly felt in their heart? And that's the thing that I want people to have the courage to get up and do is to say, what is wrong with saying, state the facts, but be an optimist and be the person that wants to raise people up and lift people up. Just because you're an optimist or just because you're in quality doesn't mean the world is all bad and you're not really paying attention. What you're saying is, no matter what condition the world is or the process is in, how do we make it better? And that's what you're looking for. That's the truth you need to be speaking. And hopefully that truth is coming from inside of you.
Yeah, I fully agree. You know, when you were speaking, Joe, it got me thinking about something I read recently about work cultures and how people need to be able to bring their authentic selves to the workplace. And whenever I hear that term, authentic, bringing your authentic self, it always kind of confuses me a bit because I'm thinking, what would somebody need to be able to do to bring their authentic self that they don't think that they can bring already? And not only that, but whenever you're in any situation, I would suspect that you modulate your behavior based on the situation you're in. And so if that's the case, is it that you're not bringing your authentic self to some of those scenarios where you are modifying your behavior? And if so, is that even an issue? Is that a problem?
Let me say first that I love this conversation. I think you got an ability to kind of bring out and bring the insights. But I think one of the things that people forget about is learned behavior versus like what you've always wanted to do, right? So have you ever heard that term, fake it till you make it?
Yeah.
I hate that term. I hate it. I tell people, don't fake it till you make it. Be the real deal. So now here's the way you want to be the real deal. Let's say I've always wanted to be a pro wrestler. When I was a little kid, I loved pro wrestling, right? So I can turn on my big time wrestling voice and, hey, let me tell you, Saturday night at the main event, we're going to get it on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can do that, right? But right now where I sit, is anybody going to pay me to be a pro wrestler? You know what I'm saying? But I can always go down to the local, you know, independent wrestling place and say, hey, can I just help set up the stage or tear down the stage? Maybe do some selfies and some side interviews. Can I help promote your website? I can do those things, right? And that's me being my true self. And then when I go into work on Monday and people say, what'd you do over the weekend? I said, you know what? I went down to Combat Sports Independent Midwest Wrestling Zone, and I helped them set up the arena and down at the VFW hall and then sold popcorn for the rest of the night. And people would go like, what? You're kidding me, right? It's like, don't be afraid to tap into that youthful enthusiasm you had as a kid and bring that personality with you. That's being your true self, not trying to be a carbon copy of your boss or your boss's boss, fake it till you make it, where you're trying to take on somebody else's persona that was never really what you wanted to be when you were a little kid anyways. You wanted to be an astronaut? Man, be an astronaut. But if you can't be an astronaut, help another kid go to STEM programs or go to space camp or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? That's being your true self.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, the idea of this authentic self, whenever I hear people talk about it, it kind of confuses me, but I fully take what you're saying. You know, Joe, you mentioned earlier when you were just introducing yourself, the quality, I guess, show that you're doing on LinkedIn Live. Maybe you could tell us more about that.
Yeah, so actually, this is my year of intuitions. I've always said, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do more public speaking. And I kind of let it die on the vine a little bit. I changed jobs and I let it slide into the background. And then I said, nope, you know what? I got so busy doing what everybody else wanted me to do. I wasn't doing the things that I wanted to do. So I kind of reached out to some quality professionals and we were trading ideas back and forth. And I had been asking people if they wanted to be part of a quality roundtable. And I wanted people that were going to literally stand up and tell the truth. So part of the deal was finding those people and asking them enough times until they said yes. And when they did, we actually created a webinar, Zoom meeting, roundtable called Quality Conversations, Speaking Truth to Power. And if you're not ready to speak the truth, if you're not ready to speak your truth, we have no idea who's going to copy and paste this video. So you better be ready to speak truth to power. And you better be able to make a stand for what you honestly believe is the right thing to do. If you're not ready to make that stand, you can't help that next person make that same stand. And that's what it's all about.
So the audience that you have for this show that you have created, who is this audience? Who's the target audience?
So there is a axiom of quality that says quality is everybody's responsibility. But it has to start in the quality department, the quality managers, quality engineers, quality technicians, quality inspectors, and then it has to make its way to everybody that touches that manufacturing process or the service that you provide. Okay. So like I'm saying, I'm in Starbucks right now. So how important is it to change the water filter before you make the coffee? Who knows? Don't do it for a little while. What happens to the quality of service, right? So if enough people say, who cares if we change the filter or not? What difference does it make? It makes a difference when it starts showing up in the taste of the coffee and people don't want to come there anymore, right? So everybody's got to be able to understand their impact on quality and the end service or product that you're providing. If everybody doesn't want to give their best, the product or the service is going to suffer. And everybody needs to understand that.
Yeah, 100%. So if anyone out here making coffee, yeah, change the filter. Don't do that experiment. So, Joe, when it comes to last question before we end it, when it comes to presenting or public speaking generally, what would be your number one tip you would give to somebody watching or listening to this conversation who wants to get better at it?
Practice. I mean, if you're going to do selfies and you're going to do you use your cell phone or get out in public or whatever. There was a term, a good old term called busking. And what busking is that what the street corner musicians used to do? They used to get out on the side of the road and they used to practice. And if nobody stopped by and put a 25 cents or a dollar in their tip jar or their guitar case, they better learn how to sing a new song until they start figuring out what it is that they're good at, right? And being able to connect to an audience. Do you know that Circus Olay and Cirque du Soleil and all that stuff, those guys started out as street performers in Vancouver, and now they're running like 23 shows a day out in Vegas, and they got all kinds of touring acts, and the founders are billionaires because they were practicing on the side of the road. So the first thing you got to do is connect with your true inner self. And the second thing you got to do is practice. Stop making excuses. You know, you don't need a big stage to get on. Anybody and their cousin can actually get a cell phone or get a webcam and start producing a channel. But the thing is, are you going to get good at it? And are you going to network? Are you going to do the work, right, to bring as many people into the conversation as possible? And then I think that it starts to take care of itself if you'll do those things.
Yeah, practice. Yeah, it really does come back to that. I mean, you could read all the books, watch all the podcasts, and watch other people give presentations, but unless you get out there and actually do it yourself and practice doing it, then you won't get better at it. And practice makes progress anyway. The more you do it, the better you get at it, for sure. So this has been a great conversation, Joe. Thanks for being a guest. How can people get in touch with you?
So they can get in touch with me through you. They can also get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I'm Joseph Llewellyn. I'm out there. If I'm not doing my thing, then all this is for nothing. And that's why I'm saying I really want you to come in and bring that fresh eye to that quality roundtable, because we might discuss some topics and we might need somebody to step up and say, hey, you guys touched on this. What did you mean by that? Or what is that first year person, new job, new right out of school or right off the street? What is their takeaway from these kind of things? And sometimes you need that point counterpoint to really make sure that you're not like speaking above everybody's heads, that you're actually making something that can resonate with the entire audience.
Yeah, 100%. Well, everyone, that marks the end of another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Until next time, take care and stay safe. Thanks, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, everyone, that marks another episode in the can. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like these episodes and want to support Teach the Geek, please subscribe, share, and like on any of your favorite podcast platforms. We're on all of them. Also, if you prefer to watch the episodes, head on over to the YouTube channel at youtube.teachthegeek.com. Until next time.